y'all got a Bible or one of them little devices, get it to go to James chapter 1. I had a word that I'd been looking at all week that I was very much hoping to preach this morning. I had a lot of confidence in it. At 10:30, the Lord redirected me. I have no idea what he's doing or why he's doing it, but I'm going to go with him. Amen? Amen. So I hope you will turn with me to the book of James. And it was something I got a few little scratches here I was working on, but I thought it was still in the incubator. And God done put it in the microwave and said, get it out and preach it today. So I want to talk to you about something that comes from a verse that I think would fix very much most of the problems in the church today. The problem with Baptist church is not that we don't have access to good theology. It's not that we're not grounded in Bible truth. Man, we've heard enough sermons. If we would just do what we've already heard, we'd turn the world upside down for Jesus. In truth and actuality, we don't really even need another sermon. If we would just do what we've already been preached, we would accomplish the commission and obey the word of Jesus. We know enough of it already in Bible Belt, Baptist Church, America. Amen? Amen? The problem is, I believe, in this verse. And I'm kind of green, so I hate preaching stuff that I don't feel prepared, but I know the Lord has showed me to preach this morning. So I want you to read a verse with me that you've heard many, many times, but I don't know if you've ever let it affect you the way God would like it to. It says right there in verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You know, I don't know about you, but have you ever got bored with your spiritual life? You ever get bored with church? I hear, I'm not being fed, preacher. I'm going to have to go somewhere else. I'm just not getting it. I just don't feel the Spirit. Well, you know, I know church is responsible to a degree to have a place, an atmosphere that is of spiritualness, and that's preaching the true word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. Most people, what the church is doing is not the problem. It's this. To you, if you ever get bored and even frustrated with church and your spiritual life, if you would say to me this morning, yes, I get bored and I'm frustrated with my spiritual life a lot of times, then this morning, I think I might be able to help you understand the root of your spiritual boredom and frustration. You see, if all you do is listen, listen, and listen to the Word of God without ever taking steps to apply it to your life by actually doing what it says, it's not going to take very long for you to get bored. Because the word was never intended for you to just to be a source of information. The word is given to be a source for transformation. And the more you hear it and stay the same, the worse you're going to be. For some of you this morning, the last thing you need if you're looking for spiritual excitement in your life is another sermon from Brother Marvin. What you need is to obey what God's already been telling you for years in your life. We come to church. Do we really expect anything? Because what I really think most people come to church putting their expectation is what the preacher's going to do, what songs we're going to sing instead of what God is going to do in my life. And if you want God to do something in your life, he's already probably told you everything he wants to do already. And guys, think about this. If all you do is listen, sooner or later you're going to become dull of hearing and you're going to get even bored and frustrated in your spiritual life. I want you to look. Everything God does in our life is by faith. Well, I'm saved by grace through faith. You're justified, saved by faith. What is faith? Faith is hearing from God and believing him. But not just believing him in the aspect of what American church has made it into be. You see, belief in the original language was much more a spiritual acknowledgement that that's true. It's believing it enough to trust it. That's what faith that saves you is. A lot of people have spiritual knowledge, intellectual awareness of what God's word says, but you don't trust it enough to actually do it. Let me illustrate. I heard this, and I forget where I heard it, but I've stole it, but it shoots in my gun, so I'm going to borrow his bullets this morning. Someone said that belief is believing that I could get a wheelbarrow and put it on a cable that goes across Niagara Falls and push it all the way across. That's belief. Trust is getting in that wheelbarrow, Shelby, and letting me push you over there. See, a lot of you ain't in God's wheelbarrow. But the only place you see the glory of God, and it would take the glory of God a miracle for me to push Shelby across Niagara Falls on a tight wire in a wheelbarrow, is you got to get in the wheelbarrow whether you believe it can truly happen or not. Because if God said, Marvin, push him across the thing, and he told Shelby, Brother Marvin's going to do it for my glory, for my name, because I want to bring glory to myself through you two fools. We better be foolish enough for Jesus to believe his word. You see, the problem with you today, you're much too intellectual. You're much too influenced by the progressive mindset of our secular world. We're beyond all this old myths of the word of God. Friends, listen, if God said he can make a donkey talk, I believe that donkey talk. If God said this thing came to be in 7 literal days and on the 7th day he didn't have to do nothing because he was through, I believe it was 7 literal days. I don't think he needed evolution to assist him. If God said there was an ark and he put every animal on the face of the earth on an ark, I don't need science to prove to me that it's an old earth or a young earth. I just need the word of God. I made my mind up a long time ago that if God said it, I'm going to believe it. And I'm not going to choose what I think is inspired and what I think is not. Because if you ever get to the point that I think this part is real, but I'm not sure about this part, none of it will ever be real enough to make a difference in your life ever again. You got to believe it all or you really don't believe any of it. And so I want to ask you this morning, why do you hear it and hear it and hear it, but you never do it? And then why do you blame it on church and preaching and other people and circumstances when the reality of the root of the problem of your frustration and boredom is, nah, you ought to be bored if you don't even love the Word of God enough to want to do it, make it part of your life. You know what? If you'll start obeying Jesus, the last thing you'll be is bored. Sometimes you might be frustrated, but it'll be for your good. So he'll make sure you ain't bored. Amen? But I want to tell you something. Bored Christianity is not a biblical truth. But we got way too many of us bored. I want you to see what happens when you don't let the Word of God accomplish what the Word of God has promised it's going to accomplish. And everything God does, he does through the Word. I want you to look up here above in verse 18 and look at what God says just in this little passage of James. Look at verse 18. Of his being God, of God's own will, he brought us forth. How did he bring us forth? By the word of truth. See, by the word of truth, you heard the Bible. When I say word of truth, what is that? Say the Bible. Amen? That's the Bible. There's no other source that's called the word of truth but the Bible. There ain't no other new revelation God's given us all through his word. And listen what he says. It says, of his own will, God's decided. He brought us forth, where? Out of the world, out of the deadness of our lostness, out of being deceived into the light, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I don't know about you, but one day I heard, amen, and I got brought forth. I don't think the way I used to think. I don't act the way I used to act because you know why? The Word of God brought me forth from where I used to be in my lostness, in the world, in my carnality. And right now, every problem I've got in my life is because probably I ain't listening to the Word of God and doing what it says. And listen what he says in the verse right below that. So then, my beloved brethren, I'm sorry, yeah.
My beloved brethren, he's talking to a saved person. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know what? Praying is very important. And you ought to have been with the Lord this week. Maybe if you're bored this morning or frustrated with where you are spiritually, be honest with yourself. Was I in the Word all week, or just I just wait for Brother Marvin to come to force Bert feed me this morning? Or am I feeding myself? Do I get in the Word every day? Did I pray this week? Did I get along with God and have a spiritual conversation with Jesus? Because if the only access and the only time you have with God is on Sunday morning in God's house, there's going to be a lot of frustration in your life. You're going to be a lot of boredom, because Jesus ain't about religious experiences at church. He's about an everyday reality that he wants to be a part of your life. And not just a part. He wants to be the part that is over all other parts. And when you put him second, frustration's there. When you put him even third or fourth, boredom is a reality coming. When you put him first, oh man, he'll take his word and change your life. Do you believe that? Now we're going here. I don't have nowhere else we're going from here, but we're just going to get with the Lord. Now I want you to look at what he says right down below that. He says in verse 21, I'm sorry. Now remember, we're supposed to be listening more than we are speaking. He says, let us be quick to hear and slow to speak. Look at what he says in verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, that's humility, the implanted, some Bible says the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, I don't know about you, but if the word of God has become implanted into my soul, if it's going to be engrafted in, I got to do more than just say, amen, preacher, I agree with you, and go out and just do what I want to do. If it's going to be implanted into my life, then when I leave here, it's got to go with me. I can't always say amen to the word of God when I'm in church in front of God's people. But when that word that told me what I've been doing is wrong is out there with me where I've been doing it, and the Holy Spirit begins to say, remember what you heard at church? Remember what God's word said you about this? You're not supposed to do this no more. I know it's right. I know that's the truth. But how is that going to change our life? And friends, listen. The implanted word has to be a part of your life that you build your life upon. Listen to what he says in that verse right below that. It's where we started. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because listen to what he says. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and he goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. You know what happens to multitudes of Baptist people in the church every Sunday? You come here and the word is like a mirror. It shows you who you really are in Christ. It shows you the image of his glory and the ability of his grace and what he could do if you would only believe him enough to trust him and listen to him and do what he says. And then you walk out and just do what you've been doing, and immediately you forget who you are. I'm no different than the world. They like this, I like it too. They talk about this, I'm going to talk about it too. They watch, and you're no different. And you don't even remember all week. You're a child of God. You've been changed by the grace of Calvary. You don't have to think that way. You don't have to act that way. Well, how do I change? Get in the Word. And let the Word get into you. Friends, I don't know about you, but with all God has blessed me with through his Word, I fear when I stand before him with how I've wasted so much of it. He's shown me so much that I've preached to you and not done myself. But it was the truth. I preached the truth. Nothing means more to me than when I get to it, my wife, and my wife gives me that look. You didn't preach the word. You lived that word. So that's us. Man, when you can let your wife, the person who knows you best, look at you and say, you've been doing that. The only thing that can mean more than that is when God himself looks at you and said, "That's my obedient son. He loves my word enough that he does my word." And what did Jesus say? "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you truly are my disciple, you will keep my words." The church is filled with hypocrites. The church is filled with people who want to be spiritually excited and blessed and experience revival, and you don't even keep the basic elementary principles of the Word of God in your life. "Oh, but I love Jesus." Hogwash. That ain't what Jesus said. "If you love me, you will keep my word." Now, I know we all sin. But when we sin against God's word, especially when the Holy Spirit has loved us enough to put that word into our life, maybe to speak it to us through a preacher or in a song or in a Bible study, or even worse, I think the most incriminating, the most convicting place for me is when I'm alone and he brings it to my attention. Ooh. Because in the church, you can always kind of, well, he was speaking to everybody. But when you get alone and they open the word, and God says, "You the man." There's nowhere to run but away from God or to him. And every time you hear the word of God, take it lightly. Walk out of here and do just what you was doing anyway. You are walking away from God. There's no other way to put it. And then you wonder, why am I been in church all this time and I don't know enough to even pray in public? Why can I be in church so long and I don't even know enough about the Word of God to share in an open Bible study? How could I be in the Word of God and be where I'm at? Can you be saved and not grow? Well, let me show you. Hold your place. Now, just go on with me over to Hebrews chapter 5. Let me show you something. In Hebrews chapter 5, you need to understand that it's called the book of Hebrews because it's writing to a group of Hebrew Jewish believers who had accepted Jesus. But they accepted Jesus, and at first it was wonderful. But then they found out, accepting Jesus, that sometimes there's problems. Sometimes it brings suffering, brings persecution. Have you understood that not everyone agrees with the Word of God at work? And if you decide to be a living example of the Word of God, you're going to become a target wherever you go to school, wherever you go to work. And people are going to notice it, and not all of them is going to like it. For instance, have you ever been somewhere, a group, a bunch of your buddies, and they just start chowing down, and you're sitting there, "Hey guys, could I pray over the meal?" See, most of us only hang out with church people. So, you know, and it'd be even worse if you're hanging out with church people and y'all ain't praying over the meal. Not that that sends you to hell, but it is something that the Word has taught we should do. But if you're with a bunch of lost people and you've let them know you're a member of the body of Christ and that you're a Christian, don't think they're going to remember if you don't pray over your meal. That's a hypocrite. Oh, he tells us not to get drunk. Tells us to quit cussing. He didn't even pray over his meal with us today when we all went to lunch. And if you ask them to pray over the meal, they may not like you calling them out. But I don't know about you, but if you're going to obey the Word of God, do you have a choice? Nope. Let me ask you something else. You got a neighbor. You watch them. You love them. You've been living by them. You know they ain't right with God. You know they don't have a burden for the things of God. They could give a rip about God. And you're around them all the time, but you never, ever tell them about Jesus. When you get around, you talk about your garden, you talk about the house, you talk about everything but what they need to hear about, the Word of God. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you talk about the Word of God to people who are of the world, there's a separation. That's how he brought us forth out of the world, with the Word of truth, by his own will. And once you take the Word of God for what it is and believe it, especially the gospel that Jesus died for you, that he was buried and that he rose again and now he lives for you. Why does he live for you? To lead you, to grow you. Now I want you to think about this. When it comes to your integrity and your character and who you really are when you're out there, not at church, is your life really, really, really changing and being transformed into the image of Christ? Because listen, these people's wasn't. Do you know why? They were reverting back to religion. They were reverting back to Judaism. That's why he wrote this book. And he tells them, if you look with me here in verse 11 of chapter 5, he says, of whom we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Do you know what God really has to say to us today if we wasn't too bored to listen? If we wasn't too spiritually immature to receive it? Man, most church services just live just a little bit above the milk. We've went from milk to Gerber's. But very few of us are eating steak on a regular, consistent basis. Because you know why? The church doesn't have an appetite for the meat. We like the Gerber's. And listen to what he tells them. Listen to what he says in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers of it. You ought to be teaching the word of God. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. That's just a fancy way of saying the Bible. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. I don't know about you, but I feel sorry for little babies that all they get is milk or Gerber's. I hate them peas. They look nasty in that jar. They smell yucky. And some of you are wondering, oh, why am I bored? Because all you get is Gerber's and milk, Gerber's and milk, Gerber's and milk. I don't know about you. I like a big ribeye every now and then. Amen. Lord, whoop me up a big spiritual T-bone this morning. Now, one thing about it, if you're going to eat a T-bone, you better have the digestion to deal with it. And if the Lord gives you a T-bone, get ready. There's going to be expectation. Responsibility, because to he who has been given much, much is required. God ain't going to give you meat when you live less than a baby. You know what babies do? They poop themselves. They cry all the time. They need constant help and attention. Adults grow up to serve babies, to help them, not to stay babies, but to grow up into adulthood so that they can birth babies and raise up generations of new adults. You know what's wrong with the millennial mindset? They all think that they ought to be able to let mom and daddy take care of them. And I ain't picking on millennials. That's a name. Anybody. I don't care if you a 50-year-old or whatever age group you're in. If you still are not to the point you can take care of yourself and you're 50 years old, you're abnormal, dude. If you've been in church 30 years and you can't feed yourself from the Word of God, you can't pray, you can't spend time and be happy to just spend 30 minutes with the Lord because you're bored, you'd rather watch TV, don't blame anybody but yourself. Say, I wish he would have preached that other sermon. Me too. Listen to what he says. Look at verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. That's what mine says. Child. That's just one of them nicer new versions. Last thing I want to be called is a baby when I meet Jesus. Amen. I hope Jesus is going to say, you was a pretty good warrior. You sucked it up. You denied yourself, took up your cross. You followed me. How are we going to follow him if all we do is, I don't like this. I was whining back there a while ago. That's probably why I'm having to preach this. God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why is everything breaking in our church? God said, you just go preach. Shut up. I got this. Now, guys, I want you to think about this. He's telling them, here you are, you're still on meat. But look, it even gets worse. Listen to what he tells him in verse 14. But solid food, that's the steak, the ribeye, that's what some of you want. You want the excitement and the joy of eating a ribeye, but you want the responsibility of drinking a bottle. Amen? Boy, it's quiet in here today, bud. Jesus, that was an amen, brother. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. What's full age? Maturity. Grown up. How are you going to get solid food at church when you're still needing milk? You know the problem? You're a doer only. I mean a doer, not a doer and a hearer only. And listen what it says. It says right there, but solid food, verse 14, belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. If you're going to discern good and evil, you got to use the Word of God, not just listen to it. How do you use the Word of God? You do what it says. You obey it. You see, the question of the hour is, am I a doer of the Word or a hearer only? That's it. To answer this question, we must take a really good look at ourselves, though. We need to ask ourselves, am I serious about the Word of God and its application in my life? Am I serious? I mean, did I come today expecting something to hear that I will not be able to do the same thing I done last week? Is the course of the way I've been running my family fixing to be changed because of an encounter with the Word of God? Or am I going to hear it, amen it, pat the preacher on the back, acknowledge it as truth and go out and tromp all over it like I always do. And then expect not to be bored. Want spiritual joy and excitement in my life. Listen to this, guys. Or am I just a hearer only? I don't know about you, but when I looked at that hearer only, it lit up like that sign out front. Yeah, robot night, it's real bright. Someone said they moved to Bethany because they wanted to move into the country and we done turned it into Las Vegas. I said, well, get over it. Jesus is the light. Am I just a hearer only who has no true intentions of doing the Word of God? I just came to hear it, preacher, and I expect you to entertain me while you're telling it. Make me feel excited. Make me feel spiritual. I'll go somewhere else till I find one. He'll be able to make you spiritual a couple times, and then you'll get bored with him. Am I really doing something with the Word I've heard preached? Or am I among those who hear the Word and do not act on it? Does God consider me to be a doer of the Word? Or when God looks at me, does he know that I'm just a hearer only? You see, the fact of the matter is many people attend church regularly, go to special meetings, read books, listen to teaching tapes, watch nonstop Christian television, and their lives never changes. The last thing some of our women's ministry needs is another Joyce Meyer, or not Joyce Meyer, Lord knows we don't need that. Beth's, what's her name, Bible study. What we need to do is go do what we know and do ministry. Serve. Give to others. Because when you give stuff away, God gives back more. You see, guys, it was never intended for us to just come and receive information when we come and hear the Word of God. You see, the Bible says this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, let me find it because I'm going to mess it up if I don't. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God speaks to you so that you can do his perfect will of God. Now listen, the Bible says in that verse 12, chapter 2 of Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. I want you to think about this. To listen and gather information does not equal to spiritual growth. Did you hear that? To listen and gather information does not equal to spiritual growth unless you rightly use the information by doing what it says to do. That's simple. You can't say, that's above my head. He's in that meat stuff. If that don't make sense to you, you ain't saved. You ain't even got life to eat Gerbers. Because listen to this. Proclamation gives you access. Amen? Proclamation is what I'm doing right now, proclaiming truth. Information, as you get it, gives you opportunity. Opportunity gives you the ability for application. And application, which is doing instead of hearing only, always results in transformation. The fact that you can sit here and you can't witness, you don't even know enough to share the gospel, you can't pray publicly, is nobody's fault but your own if you've heard more than a year of sermons. Well, that preacher just don't preach. Why you go there? Are you dumb enough to keep going? I wouldn't go two Sundays to a church that a preacher didn't preach the Word of God. And he could preach the Word of God if he ain't anointed by the Spirit of God. I ain't staying there. Because there ain't nothing worse than the Word of God with no power. Friends, we don't have any reason to blame for not being spiritually mature in the things of God. You see, what we need to ask ourselves this morning is my integrity and my character match up with my intellectual awareness of what God says is right and wrong? You know, I didn't think this sermon was going to last 10 minutes. Was I wrong? I don't know why God shut everything down, made me pull this thing out, 15 minutes to preaching. The only other reason I can imagine is they got some hearers only in here this morning. Nothing wrong with it. We've all done it. What's tragic is to leave here that way. After God gave you a wake-up call. You know, a lot of people say, I don't like that kind of church. Well, go somewhere else. We're not trying to be the popular church. We want to be the church where God's at work. And God's not at work. No matter how big the crowd is all we're doing is whitewashing, tearing down, and easy beliefism, Christianity. God, I'm telling you what, the Word of God is the Word of God. And guys, the most basic thing is, be ye not a hearer, be a doer. Obey what it says and see what it'll do. It'll change your life. It will. Because there's power in the Word of God. There's life. It's living. And when you preach it, life comes forth. And when you receive that life and obey it through application and obedience, it changes you. Now, we don't have a projector, and I'm kind of happy. But we're going to let Miss Karen just play. And this altar is a place where you come. If you say, Lord, I don't want to be a hearer only. Now, if you come up here, we're not all going to say, ooh, he's a hearer only. But if God's telling you to come up here, that's how you start being a doer, amen? Amen? Do what he said. You know what? He don't just tell you to go to altar, though, when you ain't been doing what you're supposed to. If you're lost, he's going to tell you to publicly acknowledge your need for me. There's no such thing as undercover Christians. There ain't no such thing. Christians are unashamed to proclaim that their Lord Jesus saved them by his grace. And if he bored you into the kingdom while we've been sitting here, if he's at work, if the Spirit comes in, Jesus is going to come out. And I'm going to tell you right now, the first thing he's going to do is if he saved you or he's trying to save you, is to tell you to publicly go before and bring glory to my name and be baptized. Join up with my people. Let them help disciple you. What does that mean? It means that you deny yourself and take up the cross of following Jesus and start following him. It means he's going to expect you to have a church family that you're part of, that you're accountable with. He doesn't expect us to be independent. He expects us church togetherness. Now, membership, as we see it, that's not quite biblical. But guys, listen, being part of a local fellowship of believers that meets regularly on the Lord's Day is biblical. Do you have a church family where you know you come, that they're going to love you, they're going to welcome you, they're going to be there to help you, and they're going to love you enough to tell you the truth in love and hold you accountable? Because no one on their own, isolated, can grow. And so God puts us all here today. He's got a lot that he would tell us to do today if we'd listen. And I'm just inviting you to obey what he's been saying. You know what I believe? He's probably been speaking to some of us sermons past. It's never too late to obey what God told you. He may have told you a sermon a month ago. Obey it today. It'll still change your life. Because the power of God's word is like that. So I'm going to invite you. If you need to be saved, come up here. By the time you get here, you're already, God's done what he's going to do. We're just going to share, make sure you understand, and give glory to God and share in the singing of praise that you got saved today. And if you are needing to follow in obedience, take that step. Be baptized. Publicly say, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I want to be baptized. I want to be identified as a child of God. I'm asking you to do that as we stand. Father in heaven, I hope I said what you wanted me to say. And I pray now you'll use it for our good. But Lord, it was all in vain if no one obeys. So Lord, help us to be humble enough, to be meek enough, to submit to your truth. Help us to obey what your Spirit's prompting our hearts to do. And Lord, if there's one who needs to be saved, let them come. If there's one who needs to come to this altar and just confess and repent, let them come. If there's someone you're drawing into our family, let them come. But Lord, please help us to listen and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.